Hey, Veldies, welcome back. It's time for our February session of Coffee with the Counselors. And today in the studio, we have Miss Juicy from Herman Hutchins and Miss Myers from Gilson Middle School. Welcome back, you guys. So what exactly do you have planned to share with us today?
We're here today to talk about stress, anxiety, and disasters.
Those are all excellent topics. I have a feeling I could learn a thing or two from. I like this. All right, so in regards to disaster, does this have anything to do with the 7.1 earthquake that we all felt from a couple weeks ago?
It does, you know, and interestingly enough, kids have really different reactions to big disasters when they happen. Over at the middle school, it was more of an issue of, oh my gosh, this is what happened. But I know Jonna was telling me at the elementary, the littles had really big reactions.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the younger children did because they really haven't lived through a big one, like a 7.1 before. Luckily, a lot of them were sleeping when that happened. But, you know, it's scary. Here they learn in school about the 1964 earthquake in the elementary school, or they hear grandparents talk about living through it. And when it actually happens, it's scary. I was scared. I didn't know what was going on, waking up when I was in a deep sleep to my house jiggling.
And I think when it comes to kids and responding to disasters, that it's really important to remember the three R's: reassurance, relief, and reflection. So reassurance is saying to your kiddo, we're okay. Our house is fine. We might be a little cracked. We might be a little shooken up. We're fine. And then relief, I think, is really the big one to stress. It's over. It's done. We're safe. There might be an aftershock, but we are safe right now. And the last one is reflection. Hey, next time we have something like this happen, we need to make sure that we call Dad right away. Or we need to make sure that we know where our emergency grab bag is, and taking time to make that into a teaching moment.
And really, it's okay to be scared. There's no problem with being scared. It's a natural feeling. It's going to happen. But it's important to be prepared and to also review how a disaster can happen, make it clear that it's rarely going to happen, but also know where to go in your family and have a plan in place.
And a really good starting place for a lot of families who don't know what to do if there is a big disaster or even a small disaster, you know, if we have the power go out for a couple of days or any of those things, is FEMAKids.org. And FEMAKids.org has a lot of good stuff. They have handouts you can print out for your kiddo. They have emergency contact cards. They have conversation starters. One of the things I struggled with was how to start those conversations about, hey, are you doing okay after this earthquake? And they have lots of good starters there.
They even have a great checklist for what you should prepare in an emergency kit. So what your family should have ready in case it's time to get out. Yeah.
And that's awesome because you can never have enough of those lists. It's really easy to think that emergencies are never going to happen, or that, you know, it's not that big a deal, or I'll get to that tomorrow, but it actually is extremely important to go ahead and get some of those things ready and prepared now and have a plan in place that you can discuss with your kids, because emergencies, that's their definition. They always strike when you least expect it and at the most inconvenient times.
Yep.
So.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yes, and there will be a list of links on KVAK's website under our podcast. So different links for child trauma and FEMA resources.
Absolutely. So all you have to do is head on over to kvakradio.com and you'll not only find all the resources that Miss Juicy just spoke of, but you'll also find a copy of this interview. So if you know of anyone who might have missed this interview that could find this helpful and useful, you can go ahead and direct them to kvakradio.com and we've got them covered.
I think it's also really important when your kiddo has gone through something scary, not to minimize that trauma. That big things are really scary sometimes to really small people. So if your kiddo is bringing it up to talk about again, even if you are 100% over this topic, you don't want to talk about it anymore, it's okay to just listen to it. That's how kids process. That also means that sometimes 6 months later, you're going to hear, hey, remember that earthquake we had? That's okay. Talk about it then.
And natural disasters are definitely not the only arena in which kids experience stress. I can only imagine how stressful school can be for kids. So, Miss Juicy, how do you typically see kids expressing stress in the elementary school?
Stress can come up all day long. Stress is different for everybody, and everyone copes with it in different ways. For the younger kids, if mom forgot their lunch and it's a couple minutes late, their whole day could be over. It could be very stressful. It all depends on who the kid is and how they cope with it. I think right now in society today, and excuse me for being on my soapbox, but technology is coming in at us so quickly, and a lot of our kids are being exposed to subjects that they're not cognitively ready to hear. So they are constantly having all of these things that they shouldn't be hearing thrown at them, and they don't know how to deal with it. It's coming in too fast, and that's causing a lot of stress. And I know as an educator who's been in the field for over 10 years, I've seen an increase in stress with kids. And I think it's because of what they're being exposed to. So stressors can happen anywhere. It just really depends on the kid.
You know, at the middle school, there are a couple of really specific things that really stress out kids. The first is sometimes the academic work and the academic rigor is new to them. So they have a really hard time living up to expectations, like you have to hand in your homework, you have to do your math corrections, and that sometimes is stressful. I think it's important that they rise up to those challenges and learn how to figure out how to manage those stresses, because, you know, this is going to be shocking, but in life, sometimes we have to do things that we don't really want to do.
Oh, yes.
Tough right? lesson.
Yeah. So it's important for them to figure out how to manage those stresses. But in middle school, we see some of those academic stresses, learning how to juggle their time. Oh, my gosh, I'm in two sports and I have to make grades and I still have to figure out how to do my Girl Scout stuff. That can be a hard thing to juggle when you're young. Friendship. Female aggression is really starting in middle school. That can really be a stressor. And first romantic interests, I think, are all big stressors at the middle school. Mm-hmm. So they're totally normal and kids have to learn how to manage them. But think back to when you were 12 and 13 and those things were happening for the first time ever and how terribly stressful those were when they were going on. So we just have to teach them how to manage it.
Mm-hmm. And teaching them the difference between healthy ways and unhealthy ways.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely, you know, what can you do if you're really stressed out? What's a healthy way to deal with that? Exercise or finding something that you enjoy doing that just takes your mind off of whatever's stressing you out.
Journaling.
Journaling's a great one. Also, we have to be really careful at the unhealthy ways people cope with stress. I mean, we can get into even...
Sometimes we see hair pulling, nail biting, cutting, self-harming. Those are all ways that people cope with things because they don't know healthy ways of coping. So it's really important that we teach our students and our children how to handle normal life stressors in an appropriate, healthy way.
Mm-hmm. The importance of learning how to calm down.
So do you guys have any specific tips for kids to help them calm down?
So in the elementary school, a way that we teach the kids in our Good Vibes class how to calm down is I get a song stuck in their head and it's stop, name your feeling, calm down, and giving them strategies of how to calm down, which is taking deep breaths. We teach the kids belly breathing, how to count, and using positive self-talk. A lot of times when you're really stressed out, it's a lot of negative self-talk going on in your head, and it's important to name your feelings.
Absolutely.
Usually, most times, when a student can name their feelings, there's a less chance of them blowing up because they're labeling that emotion. So they could be saying, I'm frustrated, instead of throwing the book across the room. They're able to verbalize how they're feeling, and that's actually signaling to their brain, okay, I have this feeling of frustration right now. I need to tell myself to calm down, do one of the strategies, coping strategies that I've learned, and hopefully are able to manage whatever's going on in an assertive way without being aggressive.
And one of the things that we do to build on that when they get to the middle school is the concept that you can have sometimes multiple feelings happen all at once. You forgot your math homework, so you feel embarrassed. You probably feel upset with yourself. You feel a little angry. You're worried about what's going to happen to your grade. That you can feel all those things. But I try to teach them very little in your life is an actual emergency. You know, take a moment, a deep breath, calm down, and we're going to find a solution.
It's also important as adults to notice out loud, because I think it's like what Kyra was talking about earlier, with the trauma it's important not to minimize a student's feelings.
Sure,
I think
absolutely.
It's easy for us to say, oh, that's no big deal. You don't even know what stress is yet. Well, it's affecting them, so they do. So I think it's important not to sound like you're making an accusation.
Sure.
When a child comes to you and says they have a stressor in their life, to actually sit there, listen, don't interrupt them, and be there for them and be patient. And, you know, it's important, too, that let them know that you noticed something's going on. A lot of kids wear their emotions on their sleeve, and you could tell when something's up.
Absolutely.
Sometimes at the middle school, when I say things like, gosh, you look a little upset today, I get this reaction. I am not upset. So I think it's okay, especially as parents to tweens, to say things like, you know, you just don't seem like your normal cheerful self. What's going on? Mm-hmm. And then maybe helping your student identify, oh, this is what happened today.
That's really awesome advice. Because even as a grown adult, going from adult to adult, when you have someone who is clearly stressed out, and especially if they're angry and or frustrated, that can be a very difficult situation to approach. So those were some awesome tools that you just mentioned of how you can subtly and non-aggressively approach them and help them figure this out. Mm-hmm.
And then you can teach them Jonna's stop, take a minute, name your feeling, calm down.
Exactly. Song. And then you can brainstorm. You have to give ownership to the student who's feeling stressed so they figure out how to deal with their stress and they learn how to deal with that stress and anxiety as they go on through life.
That is so important because you cannot successfully deal with it unless you take ownership and figure out how to.
Exactly. If, let's say, I do all the work for them, what are they going to learn? You have to brainstorm together, work on it together, and let them take ownership of their ideas. And as they participate in such a brainstorm, it's going to give them self-confidence and raise their self-esteem as well, because they could, you know, yeah, I dealt with that. I'm ready to move on.
And that's such an important feeling of being able to, when they experience something like that in the future, knowing that, hey, I dealt with this before, I can do it again, I got this.
Right, and then, of course, following up a couple days after to see if it worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And being able just to show that you are invested and you care about what's going on in their life and how they're doing. That can be invaluable in and of itself.
It's important that kids have caring adults. Just having a caring adult is a way to decrease stress in your life.
I'm actually really excited that we're having this conversation, because my husband, I know, would absolutely agree with the statement, but I can be slightly high strung. So being able to learn how to deal with your stress and being able to manage that just makes such a huge difference in life. I have developed so many unhealthy ways of dealing with stress, and those habits have only strengthened over years and years. Mm-hmm. And now, as I'm really making a conscious effort to change, be more mentally healthy, the mountain's a lot taller because I've been building it for so many years. Mm-hmm. So to help kids not have to go through that extra couple mountains is such a huge and awesome thing that we can do for them, regardless of whether or not they're your kid or someone else's.
Definitely. And being mindful of what causes us stress, because our students and our children are watching us. We're the models for them. And they're watching how we deal with it.
That's an excellent point. Just because you can lose it doesn't mean it's the best thing for you to do.
Exactly.
Well, and I think when they do see us lose it, if we're having a hard moment, to come back later and say, gosh, I was having a rough day. Here's what happened. And I'm so sorry that you were there to see that. And I just want to let you know, this is what I did after we left. And also, I wanted to share, there are a couple of really good apps that you can put onto your smartphone or to your tablet or whatever.
Really?
That can help. The first one is called At Ease. And At Ease has an entire library of things that you can buy in your app store. But they do guided breathing. And there's 5 minute, 7 minute, 11, 12, 16. So I think that that's a really good one for kids to learn how to belly breathe. And just how to help themselves. And I think it's good for adults too. And there's another one called Breathe, which is guided meditation. And it takes you from a beginner level. So like, you don't even know how to meditate, what
that
to do.
Would be me.
Yeah.
I like this so far.
No, this is the one that I, Breathe is what I use when I need like a quick 5 minute break in my office. Wow. And I'll shut my door and I'll do this one. And it really helps you stay focused. And I think it's important that kids know, hey, these are some of the things that we use. You can use these tools too.
That's awesome. And what were the names of those two apps again?
At Ease. And At Ease has a whole giant selection. They have multiple apps, and then Breathe as well.
Okay.
I think one of the toughest parts about stress is learning how to let your stressors go so that they can't come back and haunt you. So do you guys happen to have any tips or tools for kids and adults on how to let those stressors go for good?
So I think it's really important when I have those moments, I ask myself, is there anything I can do about this right now? And if the answer is no, I need to let it go. Sometimes when people bring home work stress, I encourage them to ask themselves, hey, is your employer paying you right now at 3 a.m. to worry about this? Are they? No. So don't worry about it. Don't work for free. You know, lay it down, go to sleep. When I worked at the counseling center, and at the school for that matter, I would tell myself that I can bring those stressors to the door, to the parking lot, but I cannot bring them into the parking lot with me. You can't help if you're overwhelmed. So I think it's important to leave those things where they belong.
Yeah, it's really important to move on. Like what Mrs. Meyer was saying, you have to examine what's stressing you out and think about, is this really worth my time? And if it is, then stay with it. And if not, learn how to say no and move on.
And with that, if it's somebody instead of something, I think it's important to ask, why are you letting this person have such power over your life? You know, because you know that they aren't sitting at their house stewing about stuff. So why are you doing that? Don't let them have that control.
Mm-hmm. And then see if you could change the situation that you're in that's making you so stressed out. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have too many things going on. Maybe your child has too many after school activities and they're getting stressed out because they have all this extra pressure on them that they really don't need. And I just wanted to add, too, as a parent, it's really hard to see our child suffer, and it's hard to see our child unhappy and stressed out, and it's hard to just fix the problem for them. They really have to learn coping mechanisms to deal with their own issues. We're there as a guide, but in order for them to be successful citizens in society, the mission statement of every school, it's important to teach them ways to do that. Ways to cope, ways to help themselves, have ownership on who they are. Also to help them grow into being a successful problem solver. A kid can roll with life's ups and downs, but they need to know how to put feelings into words, calm down, and that's going to help them bounce back from life stressors. So being patient is really important as an adult when we're dealing with children.
This was such a good lesson for me. I'm so glad you guys came in to talk about this because I clearly needed this for me, let alone for anyone else that might have needed to be encouraged and be given some tools for dealing with stress within their own lives, or if they're struggling to help their kids not be overwhelmed with stress.
Definitely. And our doors are always open.
Yep.
And same with Mrs. Meyer and also for Mr. Williams at the high school. Our doors are always open. This is a great opportunity for us to reach out to parents in the community. And if you have any ideas on topics you would like discussed, please contact us through KVAK or through our school emails, and we'd be happy to put together a presentation for you.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I know you're always absolutely stuffed with stuff to do at work, so I'm so excited that you were able to come down and make time for this. I'm super excited for next month's coffee with our counselors, so you have me waiting on pins and needles for what we're going to talk about next time.
So that's about going to wrap us up for this session of Coffee with the Counselor, but again, Valdez, stay tuned for next month's Coffee with the Counselor. And in the meantime, if you would like to re-listen to this interview, or if you know of someone who might be able to benefit from the advice from our wonderful counselors, go ahead and direct them to kvakradio.com, and you'll find this interview along with the resources that Miss Giusti mentioned under the podcast page. So again, that's kvakradio.com. And until next time, we hope you have a fantastic day.